When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, I am Ariel Munafo.
And I am Moshe Ferber.
And this is the Silver Lining Podcast.
The podcast about security engineering.
Hello everyone, another episode of Silver Lining Podcast. And with me as always, Moshe. How are you, Moshe?
Very good. Good morning, Ariel. Good to see you.
And we are after the COVID in Israel. Everything is open. And with us, Guy. Hi, Guy. How are you?
Hi, good morning. Happy to be here for the second time. I think in 3 years was my previous time.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's good to have you here. And now we are back with a new title and a new company and a new startup. Previously, you were in AppsFlyer. We were talking about application security. And currently, you are working for cyber security. And we are going to talk about CI/CD security, which is what you do. So first of all, remind us about yourself and tell the new listeners about who you are and what do you do?
Cool. So I'm Guy. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Cider Security. Almost 20 years in the cyber security trenches, you can say. I grew up in the Israeli Air Force. Then I moved to, after a few years, I moved to private consulting, Ministry of Defense, other private and public companies in Israel. Then after a few years, moved to LivePerson, to the security team there in different positions. And after a few years, moved to AppsFlyer to be their first CISO for 3 years. And then moved to the dark side to become a vendor and to become the CEO and co-founder of Cider Security. And this is where I am for the last year and a half. We officially established Cider on December 2020 in the middle of the COVID. And now Cider is a very impressive startup, objectively, of course.
Tell us a little bit about Cider. What do you do? What is the vision?
So Cider is, you can say, it's the first AppSec OS. It's the first thing that we decided to build something that will help companies to build their AppSec program, which defined, I will explain in a minute, how we see the AppSec program.
AppSec, application security.
Application security from scratch, from within a unified platform, and allow DevOps and dev and security team to be closer in their day-to-day and to reduce the friction that my co-founder and I felt in our previous position in our day-to-day, and we always looked for this solution to assist us. And today Cider is above 70 employees across the globe. We have several dozens of customers, and we continue to grow and to build the platform on a daily basis, and you know, fix the pains that we felt in our previous positions on a daily basis.
Okay, so in a moment we'll dive deeper into the CI/CD pipeline. What do you do there? But okay, I understand application sec operating system. I understand reduce the feature. Can you give us a little word about what exactly do you do?
So basically, Cider is built in a way that the first and most important part of what we are doing is to bring visibility and understanding of your CI/CD processes and the engineering ecosystem. Mm-hmm. If you go today and ask security teams, by the way, even some of the DevOps teams, tell me about your engineering ecosystem. Tell me what languages your developers are using in their day-to-day. How the CI/CD, the continuous integration, the continuous deployment happen in your environment and what is connected to what. And if you go and ask them, they are most likely will give you some very high-level answer without the ability to understand exactly what is happening, exactly what is being connected to what, and know in real time on a new stuff that are being added to this environment, which is a very vibrant environment. And today the CI/CD ecosystem is very, very, very complex, and it's like a moving train that really, really move fast, and the security team are struggling to keep up. So as I said, the first thing that we are doing is give you the visibility, the understanding of all the processes from the developer all the way to the production. So this is one thing. And then on top of that, we are building a few layers of the platform that gives all the, you can say, all the security requirements as part of the AppSec program in that area. So the first layer is the protection of the CI/CD, the understanding of the posture of each and every component inside the CI/CD, the SCM, the CI system, the Artifactory, the container registry, the CD if it's disconnected from the CI system and any other system that you have in this ecosystem. And not only the posture of each and every process, but also the posture of the processes themselves, or the connection between the processes or between the systems, because the SCM or the software code management that connect to the CI system is all the time highly connected, and they are talking with each other all the time, and there are some issues that can be created because of that connectivity. And then on that layer, after we're doing also the posture of that between the systems, we also give you the ability to tailor engines as part of your environment. Mm-hmm. We're doing that by providing you a marketplace that you, in a click of a button, can tailor whatever engine that you need or you want, whether it's an open source, whether it's a commercial. We strongly believe that the community and what we have outside is stronger than any one company that can build a great engine, but eventually it's nothing compared to or everything that there is out there. And additional layer on top of that is the understanding if something is bypassing the CI/CD and being push to production, not in the CI/CD or the regular CI/CD mm-hmm. processes.
Which is matching to some of the attacks that we've seen, where you mm-hmm. basically upload code that didn't pass the entire mm-hmm. security check.
Exactly. We differentiate them in three, we have three mm-hmm. acronyms to them. We call it security of the pipeline, SOP. Security in the pipeline is the ability to tailor the engine, and security around the pipeline. So we believe when you're building an AppSec program, you should have those three elements. Again, whether you want to do it with different platform or you want to do it in a single platform, those are the three elements that you should have inside your AppSec program when you build inside your engineering ecosystem.
So the people that use the application are also the development system, but also the CISO or the security team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, eventually the buying persona of security tools are security teams. So we are aiming to sell to a security team, but definitely the purpose of what we're doing is to bridge the gap that we have today between dev team, DevOps, and security team around this area. and also to allow the dev team to get, or the DevOps team to get more knowledge about their security gaps and what they need to do in a very easy way. We don't want them to come to our platform. We don't see us as a dashboard that developer need to go into and try to understand what they need to do or what they need to, or what they have inside their code. We want to push everything that we have inside the platform to wherever they are working in their day-to-day, whether it's Jira, Slack, comment on PR, or any other system that they are using.
Okay, so this is all very interesting. I want to move forward. Just to frame our discussion, we're talking about a research that you produced, which is called the 10 CICD security risk, which is a very interesting topic. This is why I wanted to talk about. But before we dive into that, I mean, we discussed a lot of things here. I think our audience, first of all, might need a little interpretation or explanation. Can you define CICD pipeline for us?
So in on high level, without going into too technical, the CICD, or the continuous integration, continuous deployment, is a set of processes and tools that eventually their purpose is to take code that developer is creating on one side, on his device, on his IDE, or whatever they are using, and take it as several steps, combining it, building it, adding more layers that are needed, and then push it to the relevant places inside the production environment. Again, this is a very high-level understanding of the CI/CD. There are companies that have multiple CI/CDs. There are companies that have different capabilities inside the CI/CD. It's very... there are a lot of... version of how you see CI/CD in different companies, but what we see today, and this is how it's relevant, we see development processes or CI/CD processes almost everywhere. We are working with law firms, with insurance companies, with tech companies, with health companies, everyone development. And this is the world. Yeah. Everyone want to be there.
It's not only for high-tech startups. It's for everyone who wants to produce software faster and more reliably. Mm-hmm. That's the idea. Mm-hmm. So the idea of CI/CD, we have a pipeline. On one end, the developer is writing a code. On the other end, there's the production system. And the pipeline basically describes the phases that is the application is going. First of all, the new code is integrated to the old code. This is a CI/CD. And then it's being deployed to the test environment first, doing the testing and all of the relevant stuff, and then moving to production again with all the security guardrails and the checks. So this is the process. So can you, okay, so now we understand CI/CD. Can you define for us CI/CD security?
So CI/CD security is the measures that we talked about and on CIDR, on the layers, on about what is required for you to make sure that eventually the code that is being deployed inside the production, first of all, the code itself doesn't contain any malicious issues or any malicious code or bugs or something like that, but also that there is no chance that someone tamper the code or tamper artifacts or tamper anything in the process of shipping the code from the developer all the way to the production environment. So this is the combination of what, from our perspective, means that CI/CD security.
Okay, but this is, first of all, in the past, a couple of minutes ago, you said security of the pipeline, security in the pipeline. What was the third one?
Security around the pipeline.
Around the pipeline. So when you say that malicious and tamper code, it's part of the security in the pipeline, or do you see it as the goal of all the three?
Security of the pipeline, tempering the code as, for example, probably you're familiar with SolarWinds. Incident. So this is exactly the security of the pipeline issue, that someone managed to bypass the control, get involved as part of the build process, change the code, replace it with, or implement more accurately, malicious code, and then the code continued to be pushed to production, and then from there spread to.
And the nice thing about it, most of our security testing is about testing if the code is vulnerable, mm-hmm. and we don't check if the code is malicious. Mm-hmm. So the code could be perfectly not vulnerable, so it will pass through all our mm-hmm. security gates.
Exactly.
Okay. Excellent example. So security of the pipeline, I understand, security in the pipeline, and security around the pipeline, it basically means if somebody can bypass the mm-hmm. pipeline and then push, I don't know, mm-hmm. artifact in the end of the, mm-hmm. after all the security testing.
Mm-hmm. A developer with root access.
eventually, there are situations that developers, again, try, they wake up in the middle of the night and they need to fix something, but they don't want to go the entire chain of command and chain of testing inside their build process. So, okay, let's fix it directly into the production environment. By the way, it's wrong from security and wrong from DevOps perspective.
From governance.
Governance and everything. And they're not doing it from malicious intent.
It's but Friday night.
It's Friday night or it's Friday 2 a.m. So it's also it's a combination of the problems. But yeah, we in the security around the pipeline, we try to understand that eventually everything that arrived to the production environment originated from the CI/CD. That should be the single point of truth for anything that is flowing or anything that exists inside the production environment.
Can you give us a couple of examples, after except from SolarWinds, of CI/CD relevant incidents?
Yeah, basically almost on. it's a good year for anyone that is in this industry. But almost on a monthly basis, we saw an incident that the magnitudes of impact, it's huge because the ecosystem is using a lot of external stuff that a lot of them are using. For example, one of the incident which is very well known, it's Kotkov incident. It's a third party that is being used as part of the build process to verify the quality of the code, if it's been tested and did all the stuff. Again, there are a lot of stuff. And what happened there is that someone hacked Kotkov. Kotkov was deployed in many built system, Jenkins and stuff like that. But the configuration inside the Jenkins allowed the Kotkov to reach to secrets that each pipeline had the access to it. And then basically someone that break Kotkov managed to go into and grab secrets mm-hmm. that were used as part of pipelines in many, many, many development processes in many companies. This is one. Another
and
one.
How did he basically went to the source code and changed the package?
No. Basically, they had access directly to the pipeline itself.
I mean, for Kotkov. He took over the source code of Kotkov. How did he manage to do
it? Again, they managed to penetrate the development and then go into their production and from there, again, roll down to their
supply chain.
Software supply chain classic. Similar, another one, dependency confusion that, again, biggest incident, one of the biggest incidents last year that someone managed to take over dependency or third party that is being used by many companies such as Apple, Microsoft, Facebook, and and basically everyone.
Yeah. It was a security researcher who managed to full the mm-hmm. package dependency tree.
Mm-hmm. And again, it showed the proof of concept, but this is something that is being used before him by many other malicious people and adversaries, and again, we have, as I said, we have on a monthly basis incident, again, for example, like on the same approach, Koa and RCA, that NPM packages were very well known packages that someone put a malicious code in them. Again,
okay,
we have a lot.
So you recently released the top 10 risk for CI/CD pipelines, and this is a project that that was introduced by you. Can you tell us a little bit about it? What is the goal of this project?
Yeah, it was an amazing project led by Daniel, my co-founder, the CTO, and our director of research, Omer Gil. It took them like 9 months.
Baby.
And it was an amazing project because for the first time someone in the industry decided to compose list, again, not hundreds of issues, very close list of 10, very similar to OWASP top 10 list that, again, will be the guideline for all companies that are doing CI/CD or want to do CI/CD security will be able to consume and very easily to understand what they need to do and how to, first of all, to understand the risk, understand what need to do. And also in each of the risk, we also show or gave examples of incident that happened in that area. So again, it's not like something that never happened or this is very... scientific capability that nobody really managed to do before that. So, yeah.
Okay. So you're mapping the top 10 CI/CD risk, and you're doing it in a closed list that you will update frequently. Can you tell us a little bit about the process? I mean, how do you create a research like this?
So... as I said, it took 9 months. but we started by, first of all, creating an initial list and starting to map the attacks that we saw and try to map them into buckets of very close buckets that are very similar. And then we worked with a very impressive group of reviewers across the globe that assist us in creating that list and also reviewing that document and give it the certificate that indeed this is something that can be used by the industry and it's not like yet another marketing material.
Yeah.
This is why it's publicly open. It's not like gated inside a website or something like that. Everybody can use it. Everybody can... share it and so.
And what is the future plans for this document, for this research?
So I think it will continue to evolve. We'll continue to improve what we know. We continue to improve the controls that we're going to have inside each and every control. Probably in the future, some of them will go out. Maybe a new one will go in. Very similar again to OWASP top 10. But also our future goal is also to do a partnership with stuff like Cloud Security Alliance, OWASP, or any other one that, again, to adopt it and make it more official in the industry. We already see a lot of companies that are adopting it and using it in their day-to-day. So from our perspective, it's amazing. And we're also going to present it at RSA and many other events in the future.
Okay. Can you give us a couple of examples for the risk that you mapped in this research?
Yeah, we have a few. One of them, for example, is insufficient credential hygiene, which is very similar to Kotkov, what we talked about. Kotkov, about the fact that all the pipelines or your pipelines can reach to credentials that are stored in a way that if you're using something that is administrative capabilities, and now each pipeline, although they don't need to be able to do everything everywhere in your production environment, can reach and grab, and this is how Kotkov managed to grab those credentials, for example.
So basically they give a role to the CI/CD server, and the code was managed to use this role, utilize this role on his own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How would you protect yourself from that?
So there are a few capabilities, again, on a high level. So there are a few capabilities. First of all, the scope of the secrets or the tokens themselves that the Jenkins is holding. If a pipeline needs specific secrets or token to go in to do his job in the inside the production, make sure that he has a very clear scope of permissions.
List privileges.
List privilege. Mm-hmm. Again, eventually those are very in most cases those are very high privilege tokens that can do a lot of stuff inside production, can build, can bring machines, can take down machines, deploy code, and many other stuff. So we need to make sure that we have a clear scope of the permission, and also we know that a pipeline can reach specific token, and maybe not all the tokens, and maybe not the highest privilege tokens that the Jenkins hold. Again, okay, so maybe for a good reason.
Don't give one role to all your secrets, try to divide them into different roles and make sure that the scope is very limited.
Yeah, again, we have a very we have a list of recommendation on mm-hmm. each one of them. This is one of them, but again, because the credential hygiene is not only in one area of the Jenkins but in many other places as well, so we also have a lot of recommendation also on the SCM side and other mm-hmm. places.
Mm-hmm. Okay, another example from the top 10 risk?
Another example, which is a very interesting scenario, because it's the scenario that talks about the connectivity between the systems. So we call it poison pipeline execution, or PPE. So we have different level. We have direct PPE, indirect PPE, but on a high level, method or this risk talks about someone with permission to the SCM for specific repo, but because of the connectivity between the SCM to the CI system and inside the CI system, the pipeline that is being triggered with the repo that the developer has the access to can reach to tokens. Again, it's very similar to the token agent, but even if you have a very limited token, again, a developer in two clicks can reach the token that the pipeline is holding because of the connectivity between the SCM and the CI system, and the triggering that the repo can do to the pipeline inside the CI system. Again, I'm simplifying the risk, but again, there is a clear explanation, and also with a good illustration of how it's being done and examples, and again,
how people can reach the document.
Just look for top 10 CI/CD risks. You have a GitHub repo, by the way, that you can push a comment and update, and people are already doing that. And we have it also in our website. We have a dedicated area for the top 10 CI/CD that you can go in and look for and see and read and download the PDF, and again, use it and share it.
We also put a link on our episode website for this document.
Mm-hmm.
So awesome. Listeners, you can go to the Silver Lining website and download it, the link from there. So let me summarize everything we just discussed and think about if you have anything more to add. So Sadr Security is doing security of the CI/CD pipelines. You're focusing either on three layers: security of the pipeline, security inside the pipeline, and security how not to bypass the
around the pipeline.
Around the pipeline, yeah. But it's not security around, it's just not make sure that nobody goes around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I have a little bit problems with the title. And CI/CD basically is something that most of the modern company who are thinking about digital transformation and now adapting if they want to produce more reliable software and faster with a better time to market. And with that comes a lot of risk. And we've seen example in the last couple of years, many software supply chain attacks, credentials attack, and a variation of those two basically produces a lot of news headlines like SolarWind, which I think is the most common example, but there are other examples. So in order to help companies secure the CI/CD pipelines, you produce the 10 risks for CI/CD pipeline, which could be found on your GitHub repository and on your website. And then a custom CI/CD DevOps or security professional can go to this document and basically check, do a checklist of the different risks and see how he copes with them in his environment. And for each risk, you also have a mitigating controls and a recommendation for how you can deal with them. Anything we missed?
No, but we also did something else to educate. On top of that, we released CI/CD GOAT, which is a vulnerable CI/CD. It's basically a CTF that you have 10 stages that educate you on the risk. And you know, you can take it, play with it, and educate it, and educate your DevOps, educate your security team around those risks. And it's very fun and again, very educational stuff that you can do with your team.
Oh, this is nice. We also put a link to that on the episode page.
Yeah,
this is cool. Also, we need to do this in a conference somewhere. Think about how we can accommodate
this. By the way, it was created after we did a workshop in... beside Tel Aviv. So we did it there, and from there we took it. We understand that there is a lot of interest in that, and so now we released it in full blown to everyone to be able to use it and again educate their teams.
Perfect. Great. Thank you very much, guys. This was very interesting. Hope people will learn to take good care of their CI/CD pipeline, so we won't see any more headlines. And thank you for helping secure this. And thank you for your contribution to the community with open sourcing this document.
Thank you. And thank you. And let's meet again in 3 years.
Maybe before.
Maybe before.
Thank you very much. You. And bye-bye.
Bye-bye.